Norton joint. I think maybe Norton
Buff
joint.
Buff Bagwell.
VK Wall Street. Yeah, Buff Bagwell is sometime in here. He turns on Scotty Riggs and joins. Because Scotty Riggs doesn't want to join.
And somewhere, a young Heath Mulligan's heart was broken as his favorite tag team, the American Males, broke up.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
I'm Mark Whitman.
Welcome to part four of our extensive look at WCW in 1996. We're picking up this episode. It's October 28th, Monday Nitro, the night after Halloween Havoc, where who has made a surprise appearance to close the show, Mr. Whitman?
Rowdy Piper.
He has come back, and he has pretty much challenged Hulk Hogan's manhood, his hair follicles, and everything. In case you didn't know, this is not the podcast where you come to listen to a review of Monday Night Raw.
No.
We do...
Come to listen to a review of some crappy WCW. Yeah. I think I speak for all of us when I say I'm sorry about that last show.
Yeah, part three, I told Mark we covered following Bash at the Beach to Halloween Havoc. And it's just not good.
No.
It's just not good. No. I'm sorry. The last one was fall, I don't know.
We stopped at Halloween Havoc.
Right, okay, yeah. So
you were right.
Need to clip that. So, you've just had this monumental event. Now, here's one thing I want you to notice about the guys in the NWO. They never wrestle.
No. They're making a lot of money.
They come and make a lot of appearances. Now, they appear on Nitro, but they're not taking bumps. They're just here to hit somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good gig, man. I can't hold that against them.
Who is Jimmy Graffiti? Because he loses to Rey Mysterio. No idea. Exactly.
They were using those job guys. I mean, a guy that I knew from the wrestling business back then. I haven't seen him since then. But he was one of the job guys for the NWO Saturday Night skits they did. He did one of those matches. Told me a cool story about Nash. So.
Nice. Can you tell that story or not? I got you. I see what you're doing.
I might be incriminating. It's not, I mean.
I got you.
It would be implying that, it would just imply something that people might take the wrong way.
Okay. So
We
don't want
to
do that. There's no reason. That's all we need to say. October 28th. November 4th. Scotty Riggs gets something he's dreamed of, and that's a shot at the Cruiserweight title.
I'm going to tell you what. Here's something that I've noticed.
What?
Since we started doing this.
Yeah.
4 hours ago or however long it's been. It's been exhausting.
Yeah.
But.
We've spent the whole day.
Every single time that you've been reading just results sometimes for a while. And it's just like, oh, this guy. But every time you talk about Scotty Riggs and Marcus Alexander Bagwell and the American Males, you perk up and you go, Scotty Riggs, get something he's been wanting for a while. Shot it, da-da-da-da. And then it'll be Big Boss Man and Big Bubba Rogers and the Guardian Angel had a triangle match. Then Arn Anderson and Ric Flair, they had a match with Randy Savage and
Luthez and Vern Gagne. You fought to a 2-hour draw. This guy.
And then we get to the American Males and they'll do that. See, he couldn't help it. American Males, you couldn't help it.
Here's a question. I got a question about this episode of Nitro, November the 4th. On this show, there is a quarterfinal match in the WCW Women's Title Tournament. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just asking. I didn't even know they were having a tournament.
Well, if you're going to crown a champion, wouldn't you have a tournament?
You would. But I'm just saying, it's like just randomly on Nitro.
It is a women's match.
I've got you. But let's keep it logical.
When women's wrestling was not that important. All right. It was not a draw. It was not a sell. This was not the Divas division where they have matches on in between the semi-main event and the main event every week. This is just one match on a three-hour show. Why are you ruining my life about it?
Oh, man. All right. So, November 11th, again, not a lot happening. Eric Bischoff tells everybody that they've been trying to get, trying to contact Roddy Piper, trying to get some answers.
Did you say Rodney Piper?
I did not say Rodney Piper. Trying to get some answers. It's on this episode. They have given the NWO a segment on WCW Saturday Night, and when they come and cut their promo on this show, they talk about, we're going to get a segment on Nitro soon. It's the November 18th Nitro where the thing jumps the shark.
I think it jumped the shark a while ago. Well, I think you did too.
Yeah.
Hurry up and let's get to the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But I'll say what everybody else is listening thinks.
Sorry. November 18th, Bischoff is ending the show, comes out and says, hey, we've tried to call Piper. I went to his house and, we just can't get a hold of him. We don't know where he is or what he's doing. Piper's music hits. He comes out. Boy, you're a liar. Hey, tell me, is my driveway straight or is it crooked? And Piper's just hot. And then the NWO attacks Piper from behind, and it is revealed Eric Bischoff has been the foundation of the NWO. And right when the NWO is coming in to attack him, Piper says, you're a piece of bleep, you liar. And then they attack him. And it's like,
I do remember that.
It's like, oh, what did he just said that? And again, it ends with the NWO gets the upper hand on Roddy Piper.
Yep. That sucked, man. But when Bischoff joined, we can't just skim over this.
Yeah, right.
When Bischoff joined the NWO, that was it.
Yeah.
I remember just saying,
what?
Yeah.
Like they just powerbombed him through a table.
It's just ridiculous. It's so stupid that he would join the NWO. It made zero sense.
Made zero sense that they're acting like, hey, he's been in on it from the beginning. You're telling me he's the best actor in the world?
Yeah.
No.
Because based on what I'm seeing, he's not.
No. And what's going to happen, that was the go-home show to World War III. There was nothing that happened on that show that built up to any of the matches on World War III. What I mean by that is, match-wise, there was nothing to tell you, hey, this is what's coming at World War III. Man, these guys have had something hot going. And Ultimo Dragon beats Rey Mysterio Jr. Now, that's for the J Crown Championship. Mm-hmm, one of the 27 belts, Ultimate Dragon. And that says Ultimate Dragon.
Right. They call him Ultimate Dragon, but originally it was Ultimo.
Ultimo, yes. Chris Jericho beats Nick Patrick with one arm tied behind his back.
Yeah. And Teddy Long was in Chris Jericho's corner. This was the culmination.
I saw Teddy Long in Atlanta.
Did you?
A couple weeks ago. He drove up in a truck. We were all like, who is that? It's like, oh, that was Teddy Long.
Where were you at?
At the Ring of Honor show.
Oh, okay.
We were waiting outside to go in, and he drove up in a truck.
Yeah. But this was the culmination of Nick Patrick being a crooked referee and finally getting his comeuppance.
And then
fine for the NWO referee to get beat up.
But no.
Just not the main stars of the NWO.
Yeah.
Couldn't have that.
Harlem Heat beats a debuting team, the Amazing French Canadians.
Yeah.
If you go on the Nitro 96 Nitro page on the network, it shows you a screenshot of all the episodes of Nitro. The screenshot for the last episode of the year of Nitro is Jacques Rougeau and Carl Ouellet.
PCO. Pierre
Carl Ouellet. Singing.
Yeah.
That, to me, sums up WCW.
But you know, if you've heard the story about Jacques Rougeau knocking out Dynamite Kid, right?
I have heard that story. Yeah. That was, I could have gotten bad.
Yeah, they've been picking at him and picking at him and picking at him.
Yeah.
And he finally took a roll of quarters and just walked up to him in the hall and knocked his teeth out.
Yeah.
His daddy told him he had to.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Rougeau's daddy told him.
Oh, my.
You have to. And then both of those guys had a hand in training Kevin Steen. He went to Rougeau's school.
Uh-huh.
And then PCO kind of took him under his wing for a while.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Speaking of amazing French Canadians, Kevin Steen, an amazing French Canadian.
And Colonel Robert Parker, by the way, who is now not a Southern plantation owner, but a member of the, I guess, French Foreign Legion. Whoever that is, because he's got the hat with,
I gotta go watch
with the things down the back, and he's got the suicide strap on. And,
well, Colonel Parker wrestles Sister Sherry. Their love did not work out.
That was the stipulation in the match, that if Harlem Heat won, she got 5 minutes alone with him. So she just wore him out.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't actually beat him.
Right. Dean Malenko beat Psychosis to hold on to the Cruiserweight title. The Outsiders, a triple threat match. Uh-huh. On every fan's list of dream matches, Outsiders beat the Faces of Fear and the Nasty Boys.
That's pretty important. There's a little moment in that match where there's a skirmish between Jerry Sags and Scott Hall.
Yeah.
This escalates. Scott Hall hits Jerry Sags, who had a bad back, with a real stiff chair shot in the back. And not in this match. Some of this stuff happens like at house show type stuff, mm-hmm. so there's not footage of it. And then they finally are they're doing this three-way match everywhere. And Jerry Sags is going to get his revenge. And they get Scott Hall in the ring. And he just starts – he knocked a couple of Scott Hall's teeth out in the ring. And Kevin Nash, who is known to be a fairly tough guy, I think, was going in the ring to jump on him. And Ming stepped in and said, no. Because everybody – now, you ask anybody the toughest guy ever in the history of the wrestling business, and it's either Ming or Harley Race, depending on who you talk to, I think.
Yeah.
And I think Harley Race agrees that it's Ming. So that tells you all you need to know. Ming told Kevin Nash that he wasn't getting involved in anything. That Hall had it coming, and Nash backed down, allegedly.
So that was in this match?
No, this doesn't happen. Not all of this happens in this match.
It's just been building up.
It's just a series of events that happens all within a month or two. And Jerry Sags, you don't see the Nasty Boys much after this.
No, you don't.
Because Jerry Sags was pretty well injured by Scott Hall with that chair shot. He already had a bad back. In 97, I don't know if you're going to see the Nasty Boys. I don't know. This may have happened sometime in 97. So I could be wrong about some of my dates. But
No.
Scott.
You're right, because I remember on one of my notes about the Nasty Boys that they just that there comes a point in time where they disappear.
Yeah, and that's why, because Jerry Sags got hurt in that match.
The main event of World War III is a three-ring, 60-man battle royal that is impossible to watch, unwatchable.
I refuse. I can imagine. I'm watching it on a 65-inch high-def television, and I know how hard it was to see what was going on. I can't imagine watching that on probably at the time a 27 or 36-inch TV and trying to keep up with it. That's just I don't know who thought this was a good idea. I think the idea was, if we got a bunch of rings out there, it'll look like a big deal. And it'll look like something different than Vince is doing.
What is, again, illogical about this match, the winner is going to get a world title shot.
Right.
And the Giant wins. Who is a member of the NWO and your champion is?
Why is that illogical? Explain to me.
Because he just got in the NWO.
Man, he's not, he can't, you think he lost his ability to win matches?
No.
Because he joined the NWO?
I'm just saying, you've just brought in Piper to feud with Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
That's your thing. There's so many other things going on with the NWO. You don't really have anything. I'm just saying, why at this point in time
Do you not go with Lex Luger to face Hogan?
Right. Why do you go with a member of the NWO who hasn't been in there long? Like, why are you already teasing an NWO breakup?
Well, he didn't just tease it.
Well, right. Well, no. I'm saying this. I mean, we're this is what. This is only November.
Yeah.
4 months after they're there.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. I just don't think it's illogical that a guy who wins a bunch of matches would win another match.
No.
Whether the booking of it makes sense or not, I mean.
No. You're misunderstanding me. That it's not illogical that the Giant won a battle royal.
Okay.
In a battle royal where the winner is going to get a shot at the world title, to me it's illogical that you have the Giant win the match under those circumstances when it's someone in his own stable who's the world champion.
But don't you think that creates a little bit of drama?
They had already got enough drama. We're building toward Piper and Hogan. Like, to me, it just muddies the water.
It muddies the water.
It does muddy the water. Let the Giant, let him be the enforcer of the new, I don't know. Listen.
What?
Just so flabbergasted. This was the wrestling we grew. This is not the wrestling we grew up with. This is the wrestling that brought us back in.
I never left.
You never, but you weren't watching as consistently.
Well, that's because of life. By this time I was. I mean, before.
Well, I was. Well, I'm saying when the NWO comes, people who had not watched wrestling in forever are flocking back, and I just feel like, in hindsight, 19 years.
Oh, clearly they booked themselves right out of business. So there was somebody there that wasn't doing, you know, they let the inmates run the asylum as the.
Yes. The next night on Nitro, it's almost as if nothing has happened because they got a U.S.
We're in a holding pattern. Like the one after Fastlane to WrestleMania.
So the U.S.
holding pattern.
The U.S. title. I think Flair is injured, but the title's been held up. So 2 years in a row, you've had to have a U.S. title tournament. So I don't understand that. That's going on November 25th. This was also a night Gene Okerlund comes in, talks to Diamond Dallas Page, says, hey, you're being recruited for the NWO. Eric Bischoff's your neighbor. You know Hall and Nash. Are you going to be in the NWO? And Mean Gene's kind of teasing that, asking why, if Paige is thinking about that. There are literally no matches of note on here. But
So let's skip the Starcade.
Guess how the show ends, though.
Somebody gets beat up by the NWO.
NWO beats somebody up. December 2nd, let's skip to the end. Sting's supposed to wrestle Rick Steiner. Uh-huh. He calls out, but then no match ever happens.
Right.
Because who comes in? NWO comes in. Just ridiculous. So ridiculous. I'm trying to get to the week that Bischoff gives everybody the ultimatum.
What ultimatum?
Where he says, you're either with us or against us.
Okay. Does it really matter what date it was on?
No.
Or can you just tell us what happened?
There, at some point in November or December 1996, on Monday Nitro, Bischoff comes in. Because right now, all these Nitros are running together.
Yeah.
As you can see. It's become tedious.
Kind of like this show.
Right. Listen, we want to finish what we started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're on a journey. The last few miles of any journey are
when we do 96 and 97 WWF, it'll be good.
Right.
And I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree with you because there's not going to be any head against the wall booking.
Well, there may be a little bit, huh?
But not as much. They're not going to bring Roddy Piper back, are they?
I don't think so.
So Bischoff comes in and says, hey, you're either with us or against us. WCW guys, this is your chance to join the NWO. It's like a membership drive.
Right.
So all of a sudden, You have gone from the NWO being the elite to now, to my knowledge, you got guys like
Scott Norton.
Norton joined. I think maybe Norton
Buff
joined.
Buff Bagwell.
VK Wall Street. Yeah, Buff Bagwell is sometime in here. He turns on Scotty Riggs and joins. Because Scotty Riggs doesn't want to join.
And somewhere, a young Heath Mulligan's heart was broken as his favorite tag team, the American Males, broke up.
Oh, man.
All right, so let's just get to Starrcade. This is, you don't worry about reading what's not important. Let's get to Starrcade, because that's what's important.
Starrcade 96. I want to contrast two things. Starrcade 86 was at two places, Greensboro, Atlanta's Omni. Mm-hmm. Combined attendance, 30,000. Mm-hmm. Now, those are wrestling numbers, give or take.
That's counting the popcorn vendors. And
Starrcade 96, just 10 years later, at what many would say, man, this is the height of the business. Less than 10,000 people.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So let's go through... let's go through the matches. We talked about undercard matches. This is no different. Ultimo Dragon and Dean Malenko.
That was a really, really good match.
Unifies the J Crown title and the WCW Cruiserweight title.
Correct.
Like you said, a great match. Then we finally get the women's title is crowned. Akira Hokuto.
Oh, there you go.
Did I say it right?
You got it right.
Beats Medusa. Yeah. Jushin Thunder Liger. And Rey Mysterio, and they give time to do
a phenomenal match. When you're there again, I told you when there were matches that I felt like people should go back and watch, I would highly recommend the Rey Mysterio versus Jushin Liger match.
Yeah.
Really, really good match.
Jeff Jarrett, Chris Benoit, no DQ. Yeah. Outsiders and Faces of Fear.
Nah, I mean, it is what it is.
Eddie Guerrero and Diamond Dallas Page. Eddie Guerrero wins the U.S. title, and that's a good match.
This is another match where you want to see why Page got voted most improved wrestler of the year that year. I still contend that working with Eddie Guerrero is what had people taking him seriously. But it's not just that Eddie Guerrero beat him. It's how he beat him.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned the NWO courting him. They come out and beat him up. And Eddie Guerrero beats him to send a message to him that if you don't join us, it's going to be more of this.
Oh, wow.
And then he goes, I'll just go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
He goes on Nitro the next night and he comes out and he says, I know what I got to do. I guess I got to join the NWO. And then it'll set us up for some cool stuff that happened in 97.
Yeah.
What is it?
We'll get to it. We got one more. I do want to talk about the last Nitro of the year. Lex Luger beats the Giant singles match. And then Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan. I got this pay-per-view. I mean, I was excited for this match. Yeah, there's a little bit of nostalgia in it. I believe there's some interference in this match. But in the end, it's not a great match.
Oh, no, it's nowhere near what they used to have.
Roddy Piper beats Hulk Hogan clean.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first time since WrestleMania 6 that Hulk Hogan has lost cleanly. So that, let's see, WrestleMania 6 would have been 91. So 5 years that Hulk Hogan has not lost cleanly. So... Roddy, I remember watching this, and Roddy Piper, at this point, has never won a world title.
Right.
And he beats Hulk Hogan, and his arm's raised. And what do you think? You think the same thing I think. He's the world champion, right?
Right.
He just beat the world champion. You have hyped this matchup for 2 months. Roddy Piper's the world champion. He has conquered Hollywood Hogan. He has conquered the NWO. He has brought some order back to wrestling, and really something Hogan, I mean, he doesn't tap out, but I think they do the three-arm thing. Who wins? Who ever won like that? But What do we find out?
It was a non-title match. I'm wondering, did they talk about that at all going into the match, that it was non-title?
No.
I would say,
I'm going to tell you, when he – because here's the thing. If they had talked about it before, they wouldn't have had to talk about it after.
True. That's true.
It's a bait and switch.
Yeah.
And WCW becomes famous for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like their gimmick. Our gimmick is we're going to tell you one thing and do another.
Right.
You know, we're going to hold Starrcade in Chicago, but the Warriors, you're going to think they won the title, but they didn't.
Then we're going to take it back. Yeah. Kind of like Vince McMahon saying, you're going to think Daniel Bryan's going to win the Royal Rumble.
Right.
But he's not.
He's not. I very briefly just want to...
Well, there's another, importantly, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The Giant comes out. He's got the title shot. And Hulk Hogan starts berating him and telling him that the loss was his fault.
Right.
He dropped the ball and they lost because of him.
Right. Right. The next night on Nitro, it's the end of the year. We started the year January 1st, Nitro, with some good matches. Here we are. Now, there's a good match on here. Ultimo Dragon and Jushin Liger. That's great anytime, any place. Mm-hmm. But the rest of these matches are just... Chris Jericho and Benoit, that we've seen it before. Octagon...
Well, this is a Mexican minis match. Octagoncito and...
Mascara Sagrada,
yeah. Who are both incredible Mexican minis. There's a couple other ones in the match, too. Jerry Estrada.
Estrada and Pirata Morgan.
Yeah, Pirata
Morgan. But the main event of this Nitro, again, and you get a Malenko Mysterio match, which, like you said, you've seen them a lot. Lex Luger defeats Greg Valentine.
Yeah.
We have built, in the span of a year, we have seen the hottest angle in history?
Nah, not to me, not in history.
But something we've never seen before in the NWO.
Yeah.
And within 6 months.
Steve Austin and Vince McMahon, I would probably say, is the hottest angle in history. The hottest program.
Yes.
Because it drew more money.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It turned the tide, and then they won the war because.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, clearly it was a bigger deal.
But
NWO was huge.
Let me ask you this. This is during the time... The part of the 84 weeks where WCW wins the Monday Night Ratings War every night, right?
Yes.
So, how are they winning the Ratings War?
Well, it's fixing to change.
Right. Well, I would need to go back and look at the exact dates of... Because they start winning around NWO time or before then.
Yeah, it was kind of neck and neck for a while, and then they started getting – because they were giving away – like WWE was still doing crap matches, job matches, and they were giving away Arn and Flair versus Hogan and Savage. And, I mean, you know, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were putting on pay-per-view quality matches on free TV up against matches – like WWF was not good at all at the time.
So – January 1st, 1996, I pull you aside and say, hey, man, Hulk Hogan's going to turn bad this year. What would you have said? That, hey, over the course of this year, here's what's going to happen in WCW. Over the course of this year, Razor Ramon and Diesel are going to invade WCW. Hulk Hogan's going to turn bad. That's awesome. Starrcade's the biggest show of the year. What's the main event at Starrcade? What's the main event? Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper, where Hulk Hogan's the bad guy. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you had told me that at the beginning of the year, I don't get it. I don't get it. Here's what I want to do. We got some time. I told you I made a big spreadsheet. There's 122 different people in different combinations.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to call out a name. You give me a one-word answer, just a sentence or two about them. as it relates to 1996. Okay.
Oh.
What?
I thought you were talking about just about them in general and their career.
No, just not. Okay.
I'm going to do what I want to do. You just read your name, though.
DDP. DDP, we've talked about him.
I thought he went from being mid-card at best to being really, really good, and I like him.
Johnny B. Babb talked about him. So Savage isn't used after Halloween Havoc. Was he hurt? I mean, because when he comes back, sure. He joins the NWO. That makes a lot of sense, too.
He didn't join them right away, though.
Right, but it's kind of – he cost – Piper the match whenever that when is that Super Brawl?
I don't know. That will that's 97.
Yeah, 97. Double A.
Oh, one of my all time favorites.
It beats Hulk Hogan 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
Highlight of his not the highlight of his career.
Yeah, I don't think.
Stephen William Regal.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of
him. Huge fan. And some of his best matches this year.
Yeah.
Benoit. He's a member of the Horsemen, but he's only used 9 times before July. And then kind of, I didn't understand that. Yeah. Luger, we talked about him, how he was booked. Some of these were already talked about. Yeah. Let's talk about guys we hadn't talked about. In 95 is when they're trying to get Alex Wright over. And it's clear in 96 that experiment is over.
Right.
Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. Like I said, I just talked about it. I think he's the reason DDP finally got over and people took him serious.
Ming.
I mean, I like Ming. I like the Faces of Fear. I talked about that already. I was a big fan of that.
Why is one man gang in WCW in late 95 and 96?
To make Hulk Hogan comfortable.
Did we talk about why the Road Warriors left after Lethal Lottery?
Yeah, we did.
That was in part one or two.
I don't know. But we can't remember. Talk about it.
Kevin Sullivan, by the end of 96, he's out of the story. Well, no, he's feuding with Benoit over that whole deal.
Yeah, and they had some – I thought that they had some matches that we would have talked about. They must have been
They built it up. Well, no, they built it up, and it was just this random card in Baltimore.
Yeah.
That they were doing this big match with Sullivan and Benoit that they promoted on Nitro, but it wasn't on – I think they may have wrestled or had
They had a few matches on TV, and they are – if you ever get a chance to see them, they're really good.
Yep. We talked about You're making fun of me with the American Males deal, mm-hmm. Rightly so. So Buff Bagwell, so Marcus Alexander Bagwell joins the NWO and becomes Buff Bagwell and kind of gets this new gimmick. But I still didn't care, did you?
No, never cared about anything.
But did that to me? That just cheapened.
You got the NWO.
Yes,
you went from having these ex WWF guys who are the elite. Supposedly, and then all of a sudden they say, okay, anybody that wants to join can join.
Conan.
I thought his best work was as a manager for LAX.
Yeah.
I thought that was an incredible tag team. Yeah. They had phenomenal heel heat.
Before he joined the NWO, when he was just kind of doing the lucha gimmick, didn't he wear like a get up or what?
He did. Yeah, he wore get up. It was like a crazy looking mask.
Yeah.
A lot of tassels and stuff. But then he went to that cholo look. I don't know if that's a derogatory term. If it is, I apologize to anybody that I would have offended. That's what they called him on TV.
Right.
So if that's a derogatory term, I sincerely apologize. I don't mean it that way. But he went to that look with the top button on the plaid shirt. And
the
round brim hat and the sunglasses and stuff like that.
I'm going to read off
that. That was more who he was
right.
As a person. But, man, LAX, phenomenal tag team.
Yeah, they were great. You know, they had some good matches with some teams that James Storm was on.
Yeah, they did.
Devin
Storm.
They
were going to burn the American flag. I watched that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, boy, that was heel heat.
Nothing like that anymore.
Nah, there, people scared of that stuff.
There's so many people on here. People like Devin Storm and the Renegade. All right, let me ask you about the Booty Man. Early in He's been turned down by the... wait a minute. He's getting his run when you and I go to that fateful April house show. But again, like, he wins like six or seven. I just didn't understand it. Why?
It's Hulk Hogan.
I'm sorry. I'm asking you the question.
What don't you understand about that being Hulk Hogan's best friend?
Zeus and Jeep Swinson, we talked about them in one of the parts. They just kind of make this one appearance. BK Wall Street, what are they really doing with him? Why is he back
in WWF? WWF guy.
Yeah.
That's what this was, man.
Is this all, except for Dick Slater?
Yeah.
And there's always a place for Dick Slater.
I still like Dick Slater.
Mike Enos, the Mauler.
I'm trying to think. I believe he was one of the Beverly Brothers, maybe.
Yes. And I just remember the match that Scott Hall interrupts, the historic match. That man's wrestling in chaps.
Yeah. That can't be comfortable.
No, it can't be good. Prince Iaukea gets a couple of matches. I just remember.
Never cared about him.
I didn't either. So I don't. We talked about Rock and Roll Express. We talked about Scott Norton. Don't really know a lot about Ice Train. He was riding Scott Norton's coattails. Jim Powers gets in a bunch of matches. He's like the throw in guy for some.
Yeah, he's that Joe Gomez, renegade kind of mechanic.
The point I'm trying to make in reading this list is WCW's just throwing money away.
Money has bloated, man.
I mean, they got so many. El Gato. I don't even know who. I mean,
I'll tell you who that was. Who? That was Pat Tanaka under a mask.
Because Pat Tanaka's on here too.
Signed Bad Breed, Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond.
Uh-huh.
And then something happened with Paul Diamond, so they brought Pat Tanaka in, and then he put the mask on for a while.
Oh, interesting. What's the deal with Joe Gomez?
I have no idea. Really? Uh-huh. I don't know anything about him. He's just a job guy.
Again, I just saw his name. I don't. There's so many guys on this list. Okay, like,
I know Ric Flair lived with him for a little while. After some one of his divorces, he lived with him down in Florida.
What I'm getting at is you're telling me on this roster that I've got Psychosis, and I got Chavo Guerrero, and I got Eddie Guerrero, and I've got, but let's throw Jim Powers in a match, and let's throw Kip Abbey in a match, and let's throw Joe Gomez. I'm just like, let's trim the fat.
Right.
One of the
I'm guessing Joe Gomez wasn't real expensive. Joe Gomez is probably
guaranteed money for Joe Gomez.
There probably was. But, you know, at the time, maybe there was. He might have been making $175,000 a year.
All right, so.
But he's probably getting paid, you know.
So the Fantastics wrestle one match on Nitro in night. Now, they may have been a WCW Saturday Night staple. So are they paying, like, do they have them under contract, or are they just bringing them in? Who knows?
I don't know.
All I know, David Sammartino.
I know who they did have under contract and never wrestled. One match that I had a dark match maybe was Lanny Poffo. And they gave him a contract just to make Randy Savage happy.
It was like $200,000, too.
Yeah, it was a lot of money. They paid him not to wrestle. Just to make Savage happy.
In the year 2000, WCW... if everyone had worked for free, they still would have lost $40 million. Like, you're starting to see here in 96, just the spend happy attitude of
to call him OATM Eric. That's what a lot of the guys in the wrestling business called him.
But do you know what they didn't spend money on?
What's that?
That Nitro entrance. What I'm talking about is where the curtain, where they walk through, compared to what we have today,
right?
On a Monday Night Raw, the big old light screen that is just massive. Right. If you've never seen that thing, I'm telling you, that WrestleMania, it was a bad WrestleMania, but that stage was just phenomenal. Let's wrap it up here.
Please.
I want to ask you some questions.
Okay.
In pro football, most of the good teams, you got a general manager who's going to pick the players. He's going to sign players to contracts, make sure they're taken care of. And then you have the coach who's going to run the plays and do all that stuff. But it's two different roles.
Uh-huh.
In WCW, you had Eric Bischoff, who's that general manager. He's the president. He's giving guys the contracts. And you had guys like Kevin Sullivan, and you had different bookers. So they're like the coach telling everybody what to do. So at what point is that role bleeding over for Eric Bischoff? Because in his book, he talks about he didn't really – he was intimidated by that part of the wrestling business, and he brought in Flair and brought in people that knew what they were doing. So my question is, at what point is he – he's becoming part of the storylines.
Right.
And where does – how are those lines getting blurred? Because to me – Vince McMahon, even at the height of the Mr. McMahon, he was never trying to get himself over.
No, he was very much the foil for Steve Austin.
Whereas for Bischoff,
he wanted to be one of the cool guys.
I felt like he was just always trying to get himself over.
Yeah, he was. Regardless of what he says, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can watch it on TV. I know what you were doing. I'm not stupid.
When he comes out that first night with the NWO and the announcers are talking about it, he has this look on his face.
Like, I'm finally one of the guys.
Yeah, that is exactly. And he does that whole bowing thing. And to me, that was like, he just seems really nervous.
Yeah.
Like, I know I shouldn't be here, but I'm here.
He shouldn't have been, you know?
So from May to December, we see the birth, the peak, and the beginning of the downfall of the NWO.
Yeah. I mean, it got good again later. Like, when you get in 97, the build to Sting and Hogan's really, really well done.
Yes. But again, and the reason that build is good is it is a build to Sting Hogan, but it is WCW and NWO. It is at its heart, it is Sting, the WCW representative.
Right.
And Hogan, the face of the NWO.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. To me, 97, we will probably go through and see some matches. I'm like, man, this Nitro sucked. But at the end, Sting rappelled down from the ceiling and hit somebody with a baseball bat. And so you sat there for an hour and 55 minutes, 2 hours and 55 minutes when Nitro's 3 hours. And you wait. You would sit through all sorts of stuff to get to that one moment because you
well,
didn't.
Well, I didn't, just so you know.
You didn't what?
No, I didn't sit through 3 hours of that.
Did you flip back and forth?
No, remember you used to be able to set the VCR up to record two channels?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times, because if I worked, I would record Raw, and then I would record the Nitro replay. So I just always, and I've always been, I watch the 90-minute Raw on Hulu. Mm-hmm. It's a novel approach. I know that most people won't understand. I don't watch the crap that I don't care about. I know that most people won't understand that. But
no,
I don't.
They want to watch. No,
I'm not suffering through 3 hours to get that. I would hit fast forward and go, oh, okay, well, this match I might be interested in. And I would stop and watch that match. And then I would fast forward through it. And I'd say, oh, well, they're talking. Sting's fixing to come down. And I'd watch that.
Yeah.
And that'd be it.
But you know what people want to do today is they want to suffer through it and then complain about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like they're going to suffer through this show and then complain.
No. I don't. How do you sum up WC? I've said it before.
Like, I want to say, you said just a minute ago, this was it. They peaked and they burned out.
Yeah.
And then I say, because I think 97 was good. And you said, oh, yeah, 97 was good. So which one is it? Which one do you think they did? Did they peak and burn out in 96, or is 97 better? Because we hadn't watched it yet.
97's better. The whole year of 97.
Because you do start to see, maybe somebody realized, man, the bad guys can't win every week.
Yeah.
At some point, people are going to get tired of watching this. You know, you got to give the good guys some.
But I think we would agree that when we get to what we have been building to for 18 months, this Hogan Sting match.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've said it before. That's when I quit watching.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
We'll get there. Listen, it has been we've been recording for 6 hours, maybe longer than that. Even more so than that. I know me. I watched more and studied more and read more, preparing for this WCW series than anything else we've ever done. I think Mark literally watched every WC pay-per-view from 1996. Why did we do all of that? Because we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. And so many fans today, that's the people tell stories. They're 3 or 4 years old. This is the wrestling. This is what they got hooked on.
Right.
And so we just want to take a retrospective look of it. How did that year affect the business today? What were the ripple effects? I think we talked about some of those. What happened in that year that eventually in 2001 leads to WCW being bought by Vince McMahon? Mark shared you an interesting tidbit in that. That in the end, even the appearance of the NWO helped Vince McMahon buy WCW in 2001. We want to hear what you think. We want to know what you think. What have you watched on the network, the matches from WCW 1996? So let us know what you think. Go on our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. You can talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken. Mark's
at The DDK Show.
Go on iTunes, download, subscribe, download, and listen, and give us a 5-star rating and review. That would be awesome. Go to DoubleDropKick.com. Click that thumbs up on our Facebook page. That would be awesome. Click on a banner. Buy something. Support the show. Support the boys from Pendleton who are just trying to live their dream. We are just trying to live, just trying to get by.
My dream is that you'll be quiet.
Mark's ready for a nap. I am too. So as always, this has been the Double Dropkick Show. The Wrestling You Grew Up With. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.